This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 9, Book 71, entitled Father Barber's Rampage and What Came of It. Father Barber came back to the Sky Ranch this morning, driving up with Nikki and Claudia, and he is not in his most amiable state of mind, if we may indulge in an understatement. He went way out on the limb at Seacliff when he predicted that Joan's absence overnight indicated that Paul's faith in the girl was sadly misplaced. He made some outrageous accusations, and though he was proved wrong, he has not yet apologized to anybody. Something else has upset him, too. He can't find his favorite comb and brush. And now he sits in the farthest corner of the front porch, staring off at the purple mountains.
It's a lot of folderol, that's all. A lot of newfangled nonsense.
Hi, Dad. Yeah.
Huh? Who said that?
Remember me, your youngest son, Jack? The one with the triplets.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice time at Seacliff?
Hey, Jack.
Yes, Dad?
Have you seen my comb and brush?
Dad, how would I see your comb and brush? I never go in your room.
Your children do. All the children go in my room. They run in and out with no regard for privacy, whatever. I unpacked my comb and brush and put them on the little table by my bed. I was going to place them on the bureau. And when I came out from my shower, there was no comb and brush.
Are you sure you didn't leave them at Seacliff?
Jack, I just said I put them on the end table. I'm not entirely devoid of common sense.
How'd I imply that? I didn't even know we were talking about common sense.
Well, sometimes people act as if I weren't entirely responsible. It's a black comb and a black brush with white bristles, and my initials are on the back in big white letters. It was the first thing I took out of my bag. I always take the comb and brush out of my bag the first thing and put them on the bureau. Well, what are you all dressed up for, may I ask, Clifford?
Oh, hi, Dad. How you like the new suit?
It's racy looking.
Oh, hey, Dad, it's the best suit I ever had in my life. Well, up until 1938. What I wore during those 11 years, I don't know. Barrel, maybe.
Dad's lost his comb and brush, Cliff. It's warped his judgment.
I don't like that flippant tone, Jack. I don't like it at all.
It's a swell suit, Cliff. Turn around. Hey, look at those shoulders. Look at that drape.
I ask a question and nobody answers it. Oh, he's an old man with an allergy, everybody says, so ignore him. Yes, if he asks a question, just don't bother to answer it. That's the way to handle a father.
Well, which question was that, Dad?
I asked Clifford where he was going all dressed up. A perfectly civil question, perfectly natural curiosity. All right, don't answer it. Let it go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm going to take
that. Never mind. I'm not interested in the slightest.
Oh, hey, Dad.
And don't look at me that way. I feel all right. What's more, I know I'm all right to the last bone and sinew. And why wouldn't I? A family of hypochondriacs, they send me in town for a complete X-ray and checkup. Goodness only knows what that pill peddler, Fred Thompson, will charge me. Hundreds, no doubt.
Hmm?
Yeah. I've got a slight allergy, that's all, and I don't need my hip X-ray to find that out.
Oh, Father, I heard you got that. How are you, darling?
Hazel, have you seen my comb and brush?
I beg your pardon?
Will you guys excuse me? This is where I came in.
Hazel, I left my comb and brush on the end table near the bed, planning to put them on the bureau, and when I came out of my shower, they had vanished.
Oh, hey, Jack, going upstairs? Tell Andy I'm ready.
Yeah, okay, Cliff.
Nobody would take your things, Father.
You think not? The children run in and out and in and out all day long. The other morning, I was standing there in my shirt tail, and who should pop in but Margaret, without knocking. I would appreciate it very much if everyone would tell my grandchildren that they are not to enter my room, or anyone else's room for that matter, without knocking on the door. And just because they are permitted to be careless with their own things, that does not give them license to pick up somebody else's comb and brush and make off with it.
Well, don't look at me, Dad. I'm just sitting here waiting.
You aren't in a very good humor, Father.
No, we are not discussing my humor here.
I think I'll come back and talk to you some other time, after you've found your comb and brush. In the meantime, I'm going round the house to the swimming pool.
You speak to Margaret and Hank. Send word around, Hazel. Let's find my things and let's find them now.
Oh, hey, Dad, did anything go wrong while you were in town?
Clifford, you know what happened at Seacliff. Everybody up all night worrying about Joan, phoning the police, the hospitals, worried half to death. Paul trusts her, he says. Yeah, she may be a perfectly fine little girl, and the young grease monkey she's racing around with may go to Sunday school just as they maintain. Nevertheless, a young girl should be in the house when it's dark, or if she's out of it, she should be under strict supervision, and there are no two ways about it.
Well, the way I heard it, they got caught on the ledge of a cliff when the tide came in.
Very well, dear. Granted, for the sake of argument.
Well, look, I'm not arguing,
Don't
Dad.
Interrupt me.
Oh. Oh, hi, Claude.
Oh, here you are, Dad. I've been looking for you.
Am I so hard to find as all that? Looked everywhere except where I was, no doubt.
My goodness, is his bite as bad as his bark?
Look him square in the eyes. He won't bite you.
Very funny.
Well, Dad, I came out to tell you I found some things of yours. I thought you might like to know.
Huh?
I put your razor and your robe and your black comb and brush in your room.
Huh? What did you say, Claude?
Dad forgot some of his things down home, so I packed them. They're all in your room, Dad. I've got to go in.
Oh, hey, Claude, wait a minute.
Say, isn't that a new suit?
Yeah, never mind the suit. Do you mean at Seacliff, Dad forgot some things and you put the bag?
Yes. Why?
And unpacked them just now?
This, Cliff, what difference does it make?
Oh, main brush. Everybody's looking for them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dad was under the impression that he'd unpacked them from his own bag.
Oh, I see.
I'm going down to my hammock. I'm going down to my hammock all by myself.
Oh, man. This is certainly one of Dad's days.
It isn't just this. He said some terrible things about Joan and Kenny Arthur. He's been just as wrong as he could be, and he won't admit it.
You know, sometimes it's almost like the good old days, Claude.
I think it shocked his whole system when he fell off that silly scooter. What made him think he could ride that thing anyhow?
You know, Dad.
Oh, Cliff.
Yeah, Jack?
Handing me right down.
What's the big delay?
Mom made him change his shirt. It was frayed in the collar. He'll be ready in a moment.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Doggone, I forgot to buy him new shirts, huh? I wonder if I could work it in this afternoon.
Where are you two going?
Oh, we have a date with a gal.
Both of you?
Sure, father and son stuff.
Roberta, of course.
Yep, we're going into town, take her to the El Español for dinner, and we've got third row seats for a musical.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
I'll tell you what's wonderful about it. Andy made the date himself. It was his own idea, Claude.
Oh, really? Oh, come on up, Nicky. What have you got?
Quite an accumulation of mail, my dear. Oh, pardon me, Cliff.
I'm sorry, Nicky. Come on.
You know, I admire the bookkeeping system of the tradesmen around here. There's no dilly-dallying about sending in the bills. Look at this, the last ones.
Here, Nicky. Want to sit up here?
Well, thanks, but I always like the top step myself. Oh, Daniel, come and join us.
Don't mind if I do. Say, there's a rumor around that Nicholas Lacey, Esquire, got a letter from Pinky.
What's that, Dan?
Hank brought in the mail. He says you have a letter from Pinky in there.
Good, good. I haven't come across it yet. Oh, yes, here it is. Well, sit down, Daniel. Get on the top step beside me.
There wasn't a thing for us today. He seems to be writing the rest of the family one at a time. Yeah, what are you all dressed up about, Clifford?
Oh, I was just telling Claude. Andy and I are taking Roberta to dinner and the show.
Well, sounds like you found an answer to your problem.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed. But I think we're going to have a threesome for the rest of the summer. Yeah, I kind of think it's going to be all right.
Oh, Cliff, come in and see what the well-dressed young man's wearing.
Oh, that you, Hazel?
Uh-huh.
Are you ready, Andy? I'll be right in. So long, everybody.
See you later.
Bye,
Cliff.
Bye,
Cliff.
Oh, Hazel, come on out. There's a letter from Pinky.
I'm coming. I heard about the letter. Have you read it yet, Nicky?
I'm just about to. Find a seat, Hazel. Where's Mother Barbara?
We won't call Mother right now. She's a little upset.
What's the matter?
Where's Paul?
He's talking to Mother. It's all right. Let's hear the letter.
Very well. Yeah, let's see now. The Wilderness Lumber Camp, Siskiyou County, August 24th, 1949. Well, I say, his handwriting's getting better.
He's got a new pen somebody sent him.
How's his spelling?
I think it'd be charitable not to go into that. Dear Uncle Nicky. Well, Claudia, this is just to me.
I'm jealous.
Dear Uncle Nicky, I have made one friend up here in this lumber camp with an English accent.
What kind of a sentence is that?
Yeah, that's our son who wrote that.
And he makes me think of you. He is a tall, good-looking lumberjack. Oh, yes. And he says he was, when he was a boy, he also left home to work in a lumber camp and was a cook's helper also. And he knows what a tough life it is and how homesick you get. He is from St. James Road, London, England, and went through the Blitz and is fearless. And he told the head cook to quit swearing at me or he'd cut his heart out.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And it's almost like having an uncle around to back me up in fights. I sure miss you. I sure miss you, Uncle Nicky. I didn't realize what a fine uncle I had until I got about a million miles away from home. With all my love to you, Aunt Claudia, and the kids, the best to everybody, Pinky.
Well, how nice a letter can a boy write?
Yeah, he's still all right, Hazel. Maybe he's really going to stick it out.
Sure, touching.
Not very grammatical, but it's just fine anyway.
It's a veritable gem of a letter. Wonderful how much he says, just a few words. Jolly good.
Say, I wonder who sent him that new fountain pen. Hope the family doesn't break down now and send him a lot of stuff. Let the boy work it out on his own this summer.
What's this we heard about a portrait you and Hazel sent him?
What?
Yes. Sent him a picture, didn't you? Practice what you preach, my lad.
Oh, here's everybody. What's Mom all upset about? Or is this an exclusive family conference?
No, just a letter from Pinky.
Oh, yeah, I heard you got one. Mind if I see it?
Oh, there you are, Albert.
You say something's the matter with Mother Barbara?
Oh, Father's on a rampage. He's misplaced some of his toilet things. He's got the whole household in a turmoil.
He left them at Seacliff, Hazel. I packed them for him. He knows that now.
What?
Yes. I just put them in his room a few minutes ago.
And he knows this?
And when I told him, you'd have thought I'd done him an injury.
You mean after all those veiled accusations, he didn't apologize?
Aren't you asking the impossible of our father?
I don't think so at all.
Well, you should have heard him in town. Nicky and I were negligent parents. Joan was irresponsible. Paul was gullible. And then when he was proved wrong on all counts, he clammed up and gave everyone the jaundiced eye.
Well, look out. Here he comes back up from the hammock.
Is he still limping from that scooter, Paul?
He only limps when he thinks Mom can see him.
As always, I have to get the news by grapevine. Nobody ever tells me anything. Hank says there's a letter from Pinky. Any truth in it?
No, just read it. Pinky's fine, and he's made a friend. Come on up on the porch and have a chair.
Yes,
most happy to share my letter with you, Father Barber.
I know. Read it without me. Don't people know where to find me? I was down in my hammock, or doesn't anyone care?
Father, may I speak to you a minute?
Huh?
No, in the house, in here.
But the letter Hazel.
I'd like to speak to you for a moment first, Father. Do you mind?
All right, Hazel, all right. Letter from Pinky and I don't rule. Well, Hazel, what's in your mind?
Father, aren't you ashamed?
Huh?
You're in a perfectly frightful humor today. You've been raging up and down this household like a bull with a bee in his bonnet.
Mixed metaphor, if I ever heard one.
Never mind the metaphors. Where were your lost comb and brush you charged against your grandchildren? Where, for instance, did you find them?
Huh?
You accused everybody, and you didn't have them at all. You didn't even pack them when you left Seacliff.
Hazel, are you addressing your father?
Well, you didn't take them out of your bag and put them on the end table, now did you? They weren't even in your bag. Why don't you admit it? You forgot them entirely.
A major mystery.
The only mystery is why you haven't asked people's indulgence.
I can't figure out what happened.
Everybody knows what happened. And the things you said to Paul and Nicky and Claudia about Joan, and to Joan herself. You were wrong about that, too. Do you deny it?
I was not wrong, Hazel. It might just as well have been the way I predicted. A young girl and a grease monkey out all night.
But it wasn't the way you predicted.
Huh?
It was a perfectly innocent misadventure.
Yeah, swimming at that hour.
Father, Joan's been completely forthright in all her actions since she's been with Paul. She's making wonderful strides in growing up. And this could be one of the nicest summers we've ever had. And look what's happening.
What are you saying to me, Hazel? That I'm spoiling everybody's summer?
Well, look at those people out on the porch. Is there anyone out there you haven't snapped at? Look at Mother upstairs.
Well, what is she getting upset about? I merely asked her in a perfectly civil tone to find my comb and... She's sensitive.
After being married to her for 53 years, now you find her sensitive?
Upsetting everybody's summer, as if I didn't have everyone's interest at heart. What do you suppose I do all the time?
I haven't the faintest idea.
I don't have an easy moment with this family, Hazel. They don't stay together. Somebody at Seacliff, somebody else up here. Clifford and Andy driving away right now, going all that distance with the traffic the way it is. You people keep me upset every blessed moment.
I think you'd better go patch up things with everybody. You've got about 3 hours' work ahead of you.
Hazel, it's nothing to patch up.
You've got everyone eyeing you askance. 14, 15 people. They can't all be wrong. Now, don't look at me that way. It's true.
Yes. Beat my women folk. Frightened little children.
Oh, Father.
An ogre. A menace to society. An irascible old party in chin whiskers.
Are you standing there feeling sorry for yourself?
Cornered and brought to task by my own daughter. The old boy bearded in his den.
All right. What are you going to do about it?
Huh?
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
Father, go on. Make up with your family.
Huh?
Do it for me. Make the big gesture. Demonstrate who's really head of the House of Barber.
My dear Hazel, that has been settled years ago. Your mother?
Well, then it's a good time to make a new beginning. Right out there on the porch, you'll find Claudia and Nicky and several other members of the family.
Well, you must admit that the old boy has a very persuasive way with him. He almost had Claudia convinced that the only thing to do was to take Joan away from Paul for the remainder of the summer.
Yes, he really did.
I think he's found out that if he's insistent enough, the family will give in rather than argue with him.
Well, Paul certainly gave him an argument. They went at it hot and heavy for a while.
That's nothing new. Dad and Paul have been doing that from the beginning of time.
You know, in a way, I think...
Uh-oh.
He looks a little chastened. What do you suppose Hazel said?
They probably chewed him up and spit him out. She can, you know. I got a place here in the swing for you, Dad.
I see you've got your hair combed at last.
Don't like to use anybody else's comb and brush.
Just like a hat salesman tying a hat on you. Never feels right until you put it on for yourself.
I feel the same way about a barber combing my hair. I have to give it the final lick or I'm uncomfortable.
And you men say we're fussy.
Quite right, my dear. Quite right.
Dad, you're agreeing with me.
Is that so amazing?
Well,
let's just say she was slightly taken aback, Dad.
I didn't realize that it was so unusual for me to be agreeable. In fact, I...
Yes?
Getting a bit warm out here, don't you think?
Really? We were just remarking this is about the coolest place on the Sky Ranch.
Yes. Well, probably a little sunburn I picked up. I must remember to wear my hat today if I go out in the sun.
You'd better, or Mom will be climbing your frame.
Always wanting to mother someone. Wonderful woman, Fanny. Wonderful.
I understand you had dinner with Dr. Thompson when you were down in the city. How is he?
Oh, old sore bones. I dread to think what... Oh, he's fine, Daniel. Very well indeed.
I've got some work to do down at the stable.
Just a minute, Nicholas.
Yes, Father Bowman?
The little argument we had about Joan. Not that I've changed my mind, of course. I still maintain that. However, I'm willing to admit that I may have... You're in a hurry. Run along. We'll talk about it later.
Good enough. Would you like to come along with me, Daniel?
Why not?
Good. Anybody else want to come, Jake?
No, thanks. Nicolette's gone into town, so I'm second assistant vice president in charge of bibs, bottles, and diapers.
Claudia, my dear, you haven't seen Sky Baby all day today. Like to go up?
I don't think so right now, but tell him hello for me.
Hmm? Well, we'll be seeing you later. Let's go, Dan.
Right. If Hazel inquires, Claudia, tell her where I've gone.
Yes, I will, Dan.
Two fine sons-in-law. Very gratifying for a man to have his daughters marry upstanding men like Daniel and Nicholas.
Well, that takes care of the in-law department. Claude and I are sitting here with our ears hanging out to hear something nice about us. How about it, Claude?
Why, yes. Now that his mood seems to have mellowed a bit, maybe Dad would like to rub Alfred the right way.
Huh? And just what does that mean? Am I so cantankerous?
Well, no, not really cantankerous, Dad. I think unpredictable would be a better word.
Yes, it seems as if the whole family is taking pot shots at me today. You know, unpredictable.
I wouldn't take it too big. We've got your number.
Oh, have you indeed?
Well, at least we think we have.
And you're really kind of cute sometimes, particularly when you're trying to make amends.
Well, who said I was trying to make amends? And for what, Bray?
Uh-oh, wrong answer.
Yeah, let's not get that started again.
I think I'll go down to my hammock again. It seems to me the minute I get around somebody today... Hazel, my dear.
Don't tell me there's another argument beginning out here.
Not at all. Sit down, my dear, sit down.
Father. Have you been doing what you promised me?
Yes. You and I will discuss that later.
It's all right, Hazel. He's been trying.
I think I'll go around by the pool. When I came up from the hammock, I saw Joan and Paul out there. Might be cooler by the water.
That's an excellent idea, Father. There are several things you have to say to them, too. This would be a good opportunity.
Don't forget your hat, Dan.
I haven't. Oh, Hazel, Daniel went to the stable with Nicholas. I thought you might like to know where he was.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. That'll do it.
Oh, isn't he priceless? Hazel, you would have died had he not here.
Did he make an apology?
Well, as near as he could come to it. Did you suggest it?
Suggested? I demanded it. I told him he was being impossible. He was making things miserable for everybody.
And he took it?
Like a lamb.
Well, he was doing his best, and he's really trying. He couldn't quite make it with Nicky. Apologies somehow just kind of stick in Dad's throat.
He made a pretty good stab at it, though.
Well, as long as everybody knew what he was getting at. Well,
you couldn't miss it. Dad's pretty obvious under stress.
Oh, don't ever tell him that. I'll bet he thinks he was diplomatic as all get out.
Well, he's not going to have such an easy time with Joan. He's been awful to her. Really brutal.
He has? What a shame.
So that's why Joan's been so aloof since she got up here. That all-night beach episode kind of throw her for a loop, Claude?
Well, it wasn't a young girl's dream of the perfect experience, of course. But I think it would have passed off unnoticed if Dad hadn't got everybody steamed up. I'm afraid I acted like an hysterical mother for a little, and Joan reacted to that, naturally.
Now, with Paul in there pitching on Joan's team, forget it.
Yes, it'll pass.
Actually, Joan's been surprisingly responsive to Nicky and me, even with the way I acted, which is sure proof that we did right in letting her stay on with Paul.
Oh, yes. Bringing her back to the Sky Ranch at this late date would have been a major mistake.
Look at Dad dawdling over there. He can't seem to make up his mind to go round to Joan and Paul.
Now, isn't that just like a little boy? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you odds he doesn't talk to them at all. He'll end up in the hammock.
Well, maybe it's just as well. Joan and Paul have been having some pretty serious contrast lately.
Oh, of course not, Joan. As far as you were concerned, there was never a moment's doubt in my mind. My concern was that something had happened to you. You want to dive in and take a swim?
Hmm? No, let's just dangle our feet. I don't know why I keep bringing it up, Paul. I guess it's just because I want you to tell me over again that you trusted me.
Of course, you want to be reassured. That's understandable.
Claudia wasn't too sure about me, was she?
Let's talk about that a bit, Joan. About your mother, Nikki. Aren't you beginning to have a better feeling about them?
Well, yes. Anyway, I thought I was until the other night. I think Claudia was all ready to make me come back here until you talked her out of it. She made me feel kind of like, kind of like she felt I'd been a bad girl or something.
Oh, wrong you are. She felt just as I did all through the whole thing. Both Nikki and Claudia said over and over that all they were worried about was she might have had an accident. No other thought ever entered their heads.
Well, then why did she even think about making me leave my job and come back here? Was that just Grandfather's doing?
I'm afraid it was, Joan.
Honestly, Paul, Grandfather makes me just furious sometimes. I don't see what he's got to do with me.
I know. He can be pretty exasperating.
He sure can.
But you mustn't be too hard on him. He's a pretty old man now, and he's used to having his way. It isn't that he doesn't love you. In fact, it's because he does love you.
It's a funny way to show love.
Well, all of us have trouble showing our love in a real, open, wholehearted way. Most everybody's a little shy, and we get embarrassed when we try to do it. And remember that your grandfather goes back a couple of generations, Joan. A lot of people of his time, and even now, as far as that goes, seem to think there's something unmanly or not quite proper in showing emotions. You've had some trouble on that score yourself, huh?
Yes.
But you're learning. You're learning. I don't mean, of course, that a person should go around wearing his feelings on his sleeve. It's just as bad to spill over on the slightest excuse as it is to bottle up how you feel. Just like everything else in life, taste and good judgment has to temper everything we do.
It's going to be awful hard for me to ever feel close to Grandfather. He always seemed so sort of distant to me. There's been lots of times when I've felt like going up and kissing him. The way he looks always seems to scare me out of it.
Don't you think that goes right back to our old problem we've talked about before?
You mean that I feel that he won't kiss me back, maybe, and then I'd feel hurt and rejected? Oh, that's the word, isn't it? Rejected?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess that's it, all right.
Sometime when you feel like kissing him, why don't you screw up your courage and go and do it and see what happens? And what if he doesn't kiss you back? You'll feel better for having done it.
Then I guess he wouldn't bite my head off.
First time or two, you'll probably just grunt.
Oh, isn't it fun to talk like this, Paul? To get to know one another and stuff about ourselves?
Well, if I get to lecturing too much, you sing out. Just say, look, Paul, that's enough of that.
Oh.
I really mean it, Joan. It'll be good for me. I get pretty stuffy sometimes, I'm afraid.
I don't think I'd be afraid to say anything to you now. I want you to be perfect, and if I thought you were talking too much or anything like that, I'd tell you.
Good. That's a healthy sign.
You used to talk to Teddy a lot, too, didn't you?
Yes.
Paul?
What?
Oh, I don't think I'll say it. Forget it.
Come on, let's have it.
Is Teddy still in love with you?
Well, you really came out with something pretty tough there.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked.
No, that's all right. It's just that I don't know quite how to answer you, Joan. In a way, I imagine she is. It's one of those things that defies definition, if you know what I mean.
Well, I don't know for sure. Maybe I do.
Well, we'll go into it sometime, if you like. Right now, it looks as if the pater familias is about to descend on us.
The pater what? I don't know what... Oh, Grandfather.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah.
Come on over and get your feet wet.
Beth, I was wondering if it were any cooler out here by the swimming pool.
Well, it's wonderful with your feet in the water like this.
I think I'll just sit here in this chair. This kind of seat gives you a sway back if you sit in it long enough.
Well, put your head back, Dad. You're half lying down, half sitting up. You can't compromise with one of those lounge chairs.
Yeah, prefer my hammock. Much prefer it.
The water's so warm today. I wonder why everybody isn't in swimming.
The newness is wearing off swimming now. First few days, the children seem to be in this pool from morning to night. Now look, nobody here. Skippy Scooter the same way. Couldn't get him off the blame thing for a while, but I notice he gives it long rest periods now, for which heaven be praised.
Well, he's still giving it a lot of punishment. You don't hear it now, probably, for the simple reason he isn't here. He's gone to town with Cliff, hasn't he?
Yes.
Paul.
Yeah?
That little talk we had in town.
What talk are you referring to?
Well, it wasn't a talk exactly. We had I suppose you might call it a difference of opinion.
Huh? Don't you think we'd better face it and say it was an argument?
Oh, not at all. I don't like that word. And I prefer to think that I never engage in one. Oh, a lively discussion, yes. A juiced with words, perhaps. Those are healthy. They stimulate the mind. But an argument usually means only one thing. Hurt feelings when it's over.
Mm-hmm. What was it you wanted to say, Dan?
Yeah? You see my point, don't you?
A distinction between an argument and a discussion, you mean?
Well, yes.
Yes, of course. Just what are you getting at?
Well, Joan, don't you think you ought to get under the umbrella for a while? That sun seems to be pretty strong.
Oh, I'm enjoying being cooked to little grandfather. Besides, I hate to take my feet out of the water.
I got a little sunburned out here the other day. Took no chances. Wore my hat today. Fanny thought us.
Well, you're in the shade there. You could take it off now.
Yes. I didn't interrupt anything coming over here, I hope.
Well, we were delighted. We'd about run out of conversation, hadn't we, Joan?
Oh, sure.
Joan.
Yes, Grandfather?
I suppose it's a treat to get up here nowadays since you've become a working girl.
Oh, sure. It's okay for a weekend.
Yes.
Dad, are you worried about something?
Worried? Oh, not at all. Why do you ask that?
I thought maybe you had something on your mind, didn't quite know how to say it, that's all.
Oh, not at all, boy, not at all. How could anybody be worried about anything on a peaceful day like this with his family all about him?
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad you're in such a fine mood.
Are you implying that that is an unusual thing for me these days?
No, not implying anything. Just glad that you feel all right.
Yeah, this chair gives me a crick in the neck. I think I'll have to get out of it.
You're not going to leave it so soon.
Oh, I think I'll be more comfortable with my hammer. Joan, you feel all right about everything?
What do you mean, Grandfather?
Well, I was referring to our... you said you were enjoying the weekend?
Yes.
Joan's feeling fine, Dad, about everything. And she's feeling fine about you, if that's what's bothering her.
Yes. Well, I think I'll be getting along.
Just a sec, Grandfather.
Hmm?
I just wanted to give you a kiss before you went. There.
Well, my joy now. Joan, is that somebody calling to me from around in front?
Oh, I didn't hear anyone.
Yes, someone calling. I'd better go and see what they want.
Why does he act like that?
That's your grandfather.
You know, Paul, I felt like kissing him.
Yes, Joan, and you did it. Real honest-to-goodness, grown-up, mature responses.
Goodness, how mature can a girl get?
You've just heard Chapter 9, Book 71 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 10, entitled Father Barber and the Eavesdropping Episode, will come to you next week at this same hour.
It's a golden anniversary celebration on the Contented Hour tonight. Listen later when Buddy Clark and Dinah Shore help the Carnation Company celebrate its 50th anniversary. Remember, you're invited to the golden anniversary party on the Contented Hour, heard later tonight on most of these same NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.